yours. Tomorrow's News Today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Sitting in for Alex Jones today, we have a jam-packed show for you. I'll be joined by Zachary Rell in the next hour to talk about the pardons and the full-fledged freedom of the J6 defendants. One of two victories of the Trump administration so far. And I'll tell you, you can never take it away from him. You can never take away from Trump the fact that he did pardon the January Sixers as he promised. And for that reason alone, if I could go back in time, I'd still vote for him, even with the Iran war, even with all of the other disappointments. But we'll be getting into that and whether or not this whole administration can be turned around and whether America has a future or not. There is some good news here, and I think we'll start the show today with just a series of, not tweets, truths. Truth social posts from President Donald Trump. I think I have them in order here. We'll just go through his morning of posting. He began bright and early at 7:12 a.m. saying, it's easy. Tucker is a real low IQ person, always easy to beat and highly overrated. So are Megyn Kelly, Candace, parentheses, really dumb and mentally ill, and bankrupt Alex Jones, who's completely, quote unquote, fried. There are others also. Then we have some that are very good, true MAGA all the way and smart. I should do a list of good, bad, and somewhere in the middle. Wouldn't that be fascinating? President DJT. Now, I think we know you don't need to do a list. The people you think are good and powerful and smart are Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, and the people that you think are low IQ are the people that disagree with you. It's not all that complicated, actually. I think we figured it out. Now, I want to remind you, if you are a low IQ individual, you can always advertise the fact by going to thealexjonesstore.com, getting one of these stylish low IQ hats, just so people can know that they need to be patient with you, okay? You are not sophisticated enough or intelligent enough to understand the highly complicated and nuanced view of Donald Trump, that people who insult him bad, people who flatter him good. You got to be really low IQ not to understand that. You can get that at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a whole line of merchandise. Okay, so he starts off insulting a bunch of people who were his biggest supporters. And we'll touch on that again. People have got a bit of a misconception about what's going on with people leaving Trump, why this might be. But then he's got the big news here at 8:06 a.m. Iran has just announced that the Strait of Iran is fully open and ready for full passage. Thank you. I think he means the Strait of Hormuz, but yes, we get the point. Okay, so it's open. It's ready for all passage. That's amazing. He says in all caps, the Strait of Hormuz is completely open and ready for business and full passage, but the naval blockade will remain in full force and effect as it pertains to Iran only until such time as our transaction with Iran is 100% complete. This process should go very quickly in that most of the points are already negotiated. Thank you for your attention in this matter, President Donald J. Trump. Okay, so maybe a lot can happen in 21 minutes, but all right, it's fully open. It's ready for passage. Also, it is closed and will remain closed until we get everything that we want. And we've gotten everything that we want, but it has to be finalized. But it basically is finalized. So the strait is open, except that it's closed and the war is over, but there's still a lot more war to go. The U.S. will get all nuclear, quote unquote, dust created by our great B-2 bombers. What? The USA will get all nuclear dust created by our great B-2 bombers. No money will exchange hands in any way, shape, or form. This deal is in no way subject to Lebanon either, but the U.S. will separately work with Lebanon and deal with the Hezbollah situation in an appropriate manner. Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They are, all caps, prohibited from doing so by the USA. Enough is enough. Thank you, President Donald J. Trump. Oh, so Joe Kent was right. So I guess what you're saying is Joe Kent was right all along. Is that what you're saying, Trump? That's what I heard.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at galaxystore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the info war, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheOxygenStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheOxygenStore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'll be joined by Zach Rell in the next hour. We'll be talking about the January 6th pardons, the full-fledged freedom of the January 6ers that's now been achieved. Very good news. But of course, we're starting with the series of announcements from Donald Trump today. And sort of what to make of them. Supposedly there's been a ceasefire deal. There has been at least 10-day pause. But Trump did something unique. Out of all these messages that we have, he's railing again about Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones. He's saying the strait is open, but also that it's closed. But I think the most important thing in all of these posts are this last line about Israel, saying that Israel is all caps, prohibited from doing so by the USA. They are now prohibited from bombing Lebanon. Enough is enough. Thank you, President DJT. So if this is accurate, if this is really what's happening, now I, again, have my doubts, because we've pointed out Donald Trump doesn't often make these hardcore, no nuance statements. Usually everything from Trump is, we'll see, we're negotiating that, could be this, could be that. He doesn't like to sort of, you know, firmly set down what he believes, because it can be awkward if it's proven wrong. But in multiple cases, he has said very strident and absolute statements about Israel that have not come to pass. For example, we've played the video quite a bit on the War Room of Donald Trump saying, in no uncertain terms, there will be no West Bank settlements. They will not be annexing the West Bank. Enough. We're putting a stop to it. And since then, there has been basically a continuous, massive expansion of West Bank settlements, total abject terrorism in those places. They are annexing huge parts of the West Bank. So Trump is often humiliated in this way by Israel. I don't like it. I don't like seeing Trump humiliated, because he's supposed to represent America. And I would think that when America says something in an absolute way, that Israel would be forced to adhere to that. But obviously, they don't feel the need to bend themselves to our will. They feel quite confident in their ability to bend our will to theirs. So here again, he says, Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They are prohibited from doing so by the U.S. Enough is enough. What does that actually mean? Does that mean that if Israel bombs Lebanon, we'll go to war with Israel? Almost certainly not. So what is there to stop Israel from continuing to bomb Lebanon? Nothing, basically. Basically, the agreement of Israel that I guess they've agreed to stop bombing Lebanon. Are they even going to stop? I mean, I don't see the mechanism by which, you know, that we have to stop Israel from doing this. I guess we're betting it all on their patience and goodwill. So we'll see how that goes. Again, I don't really know what to make of this, because so much that has come out of the Trump administration about this war, like, this is the problem, right? It's the boy who cried wolf. It's just the actual natural and appropriate response to being lied to over and over as you stop trusting the people doing it. So, you know, it's Friday. Usually Friday afternoons are when Trump likes to launch a big sneak attack. think it'd be a little bit too on the nose to do right now to announce a ceasefire in the morning and then break it in the afternoon. That might be a bridge too far for the current administration. But I also wouldn't put it past them. And we can look at the so-called agreement. We can look at what people are saying. But we can also look at what is actually happening around the world. And obviously, war is still very much in the future with no sign of stopping. We are moving huge amounts of personnel into the Middle East. We're moving huge amounts of equipment into the Middle East for a reason, right? We're closing down our Syrian bases and moving our personnel that was in those bases to forward positions near Iran for a reason, right? We'll see. We'll see. But Trump says more. He says, now that the Strait of Hormuz situation is open, I receive a call from NATO asking if we would need some help. I told them to stay away unless they just want to load up their ships with oil. They were useless when needed. A paper tiger, President DJT. And again, we'll get into this a little bit more because a bunch of European leaders just held like a 40-nation emergency summit to deal with the Strait of Hormuz. And it's just, it's this, you kind of have to separate yourself and like look at this in a bird's eye view and remind yourselves of like how this got started and why we're in this situation. Because on the face of it, it seems like what's happening is that Europe is trying to deal with this action by Iran and trying to figure out how to contend with this Iranian action. But it was America that started the war. It was America that sort of forced Iran's hand. They hadn't closed the Hormuz Strait until we launched the attack that we did. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Or maybe they're saving Israel for last, like QAnon says. That could be it. That could very well be. So Trump says, Iran has agreed to never close the Strait of Hormuz again. It will no longer be used as a weapon against the world, President Donald J. Trump. Ever again, never again. They promised, they crossed their heart, and they hope to die. They made a pinky promise with Donald Trump. So that's that. There's nothing, you know, physically stopping them from shutting the Strait of Hormuz at any moment. But they promised they won't. Right. He says, a great and brilliant day for the world, DJT. Yeah, nuts. Hey, whatever stops you from waging the war that you started and you've been perpetuating for the last four weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, yeah, it's a great day. It's a great day for you to just do what you should have done a week in. Are we supposed to celebrate this? Again, it's like you were the ones who were doing it. Why is this being celebrated like a great thing? You are the ones who are keeping it going. So you can't act like this is a victory. And it's clearly not a victory because it's clearly not America and Israel that are setting the terms for this discussion. And if they wanted, Iran could disagree with this. Or if Israel keeps bombing Lebanon, the whole thing will fall to nothing. And no matter what, I have the distinct feeling that this war is just going to start up again. Maybe in 2 weeks, maybe in 6 months. Maybe they've looked at the numbers and thought, gee, if we really want to get this done, it is actually best to pump the brakes a little bit, allow ourselves to rebuild some of the stuff we've lost over the last couple of months of conflict and then start it up again after the midterms. Yeah, maybe that's the calculation going on. There's a lot of reshuffling happening at the highest levels, and we'll get into some of the behind-the-scenes conflicts going on. Okay, but Trump is celebrating his defeat against Iran. Thank you to Pakistan and its great Prime Minister and Field Marshal, two fantastic people. Again, this deal is not tied in any way to Lebanon, but we will make Lebanon great again. So, like, what are you even supposed to make about this? Like, can an adult tell us what's going on? Again, I don't, you know, what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this? He literally is like, sends this long tweet at 8:57 a.m., talking about how they're going to work with Lebanon and deal with the Hezbollah situation in an appropriate manner. Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They're prohibited from doing so. And then like an hour later, he's like, actually, this deal hasn't anything to do with Lebanon. It's got nothing to do with Lebanon. It's totally separate and distinct. So it sounds like there he's kind of like hedging his statements, where he's going, you know, Israel will not bomb Lebanon. But if they do, that's fine, because that's not a part of this agreement. The deal still has to hold, even though they're bombing Lebanon, which would violate the agreement. But they won't do that because I told them not to. But if they do, it's fine. What are we supposed to make of this? Is it a part of the agreement or not? Because Iran has said it has to be part of the agreement, and they're the ones dictating terms. Yeah, Joe Kent responds, it appears that a historic deal is within reach and will hold if President Trump is willing to enforce the restrictions he's placed on Israel. This post indicates a good start, but it must be followed by actually limiting U.S. military aid to Israel. And yeah, I mean, again, it's just, it's kind of frustrating because you know that the people that were in favor of this war and championing this war and calling you a panican for opposing this war are going to treat this like it's a victory, like it somehow proves us wrong. We are still in a worse position we were before the war started. Even if the Strait of Hormuz opens, which still seems kind of up in the air, it was open before the war started. Nothing has actually benefited any of us, and I've got stories today that already the damage done to energy infrastructure is going to take at least 2 years to get back on track. And that doesn't even count the possibility of empty harvests next year in places like Australia because they can't get the fertilizer they need to plant this year or, you know, next season, whatever it is. He says, again, this deal is not tied in any way to Lebanon. Iran, with the help of USA, has removed or is removing all sea mines. Thank you to Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Qatar for your great bravery and help, President Donald J. Trump. Then he goes on to say, the failing New York Times, fake news CNN, and others just don't know what to do. They're desperately looking for a reason to criticize President Donald J. Trump on the Iran situation, but just can't find it. Why don't they say at the right time, job well done, Mr. President, and start to gain back their credibility? What did you achieve? Honestly, what did you achieve? We'll look into the ceasefire details, but it's just crazy, man. I just don't even know what to make of it at this point. It's just a total false reality that he's desperate to project on everybody. That was another one I didn't even see. That was from yesterday. Who's dumber, Tucker Carlson or Joe Kent? It's very interesting. I met Joe Kent at Dover Air Force Base along with numerous others who lost their loved ones in war. Said hello to all the families. Yeah, but he was right. So if you'd listened to him early on, we wouldn't have gone through 4 weeks of disaster. We wouldn't have lost American lives. We wouldn't be in this situation at all. We could have focused on domestic issues. You wouldn't have cratered in the polls. You wouldn't have had a bunch of people turn against you for your obviously ill-advised actions, and then you wouldn't have had to flip out and try to defend yourself against them, further severing yourself from a gigantic and influential, you know, base of supporters. You should have probably listened to Joe Kent. You should probably bring him back. You should probably apologize to him. Say, gee, Joe, you're right. Turns out you were right. Turns out the only way out of this is to restrict Israel's actions, where we don't have the same interests as Israel, and getting into this Iran conflict is not turned out to our benefit. It's been basically a complete and total disaster endlessly on every front. Now, that's not going to happen, obviously, even though it should. He's going to continue to berate and mock and, again, just try in really a ill-advised and petulant way to get back at Joe Kent for being correct. I just put a new video in there. This is another statement he's made about Joe Kent, and we can go to, or let's go to clip 27 here. This is Trump on Joe Kent, who, again, I just want to remind you, I mean, his big point, Joe Kent's big point was that Israel got us into this war. Israel pressured us into this. It was not for American interest. That's been acknowledged by everybody. He was literally just repeating what the Secretary of State and the Speaker of the House and President Trump himself, and just literally everybody, the stories that came out afterwards, just everybody. Everybody knows now. Israel absolutely pressured Trump to get into the war in Iran, presented him with the promise that it would be a quick and easy mission, lied to him about that, said they were going to attack anyway, so sort of blackmailing Trump into doing it. And the whole time, Joe Kent was saying, this isn't in our interest. We should not be doing what Israel wants just because Israel wants it. And if we want peace in the region, the one thing we have to do is restrain Israel. That's been his constant refrain. Every interview he's done, that's the point he hammers. We have to constrain Israel. We have to put real limitations on Israel, which we can because they depend on us, because they require our weapons and our defense. They have to do what we say. We should use that leverage to create peace in the region for our benefit and the benefit of everybody, not just the Israelis. And he's been proven right. He's been absolutely proven right as Trump comes out saying the deal with Hezbollah situation in an appropriate matter, Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They are prohibited from doing so by the USA. Enough is enough. So Joe Kent was right. Joe Kent was right, and you were wrong, and that makes you mad. Let's go to clip 27 now.
Mr. President, what? Do you know whether Joe Kent was leaking?
Look, I'm not a fan of the guy. If you look at, and you never cover this, if you look at his truths or whatever he went on, if it's X or truth, if you look at his truths or his statements, he was all for everything. All of a sudden, he wasn't. He was a man that I met at Dover. He came and his wife was killed. He remarried fairly quickly. His wife was killed, and I felt badly for him. He ran for Congress, he lost. He ran for Congress again, and he lost. I said, you know, he's a guy, nice guy, seemed like a very nice guy. I met him, he was pretty heartbroken, pretty. But I said, you know, it's a shame. He ran for Congress twice. Call him up, give him a job in the White House. Smart. They gave him a job in the White House, and this is what he does to me, you know? Being a nice guy doesn't pay off too much.
Mr. President.
Think of it. He loses twice in Congress, ran not very good campaigns, should have won, but he loses twice. How do I get him? I have my people call him, because I didn't deal with him for the most part. I saw him a couple of times, but I never dealt with him at all. I had no idea his ideology was left or right, whatever it is. I can say this. He said very strongly that Iran is not a threat. Iran's been a threat for 47 years, and there's not a country in the world that doesn't agree with me on that. So I take this guy, Joe Kent, who lost twice for Congress, pretty badly and tough, and was devastated, and I know that he lost his wife. So instead of letting him live out his life, I brilliantly have my people call him and offer him a job in security, essentially, in the White House. And what does he do? He goes out and he says that Iran is not a threat to get publicity. Now, he probably signed up with CNN or maybe signed up with your division of Newsmax. I don't know, but probably signed up with CNN or somebody. But if you look at his tweets, X's or truths, whatever he uses, I don't know because I don't follow him. What he said is 100% he agrees with me. All of a sudden he leaves. I never knew he had a problem. Now, I hear they're looking at him for leaking. That's possible. But just so you understand, just to put it to rest, he lost twice badly. He also lost his wife. He's remarried since. He lost his wife. I felt badly for him. So I told my people, reach out to him, give him a job at the White House. This is the thanks I get. Any other?
So again, the things that you got was that Joe Kent literally sacrificed his own career to tell you the truth. You didn't listen to him. You got yourself into this mess. Now you've basically had to do exactly what Joe Kent suggested that you did in the first place. And you could just tell, like, from that, it becomes clear, like, what information is being fed to Trump. And he's like, oh, I didn't know he had a problem. Like, I had no idea. And it's like, yeah, because when he was in office, in the position that you put him in, trying to do the obligations of that role and fulfill that responsibility by telling you the truth about the intelligence that was actually verified, not the lies told to you by Israel, he was kept away from you. You had no idea that he was trying to inform you about this, trying to expose the lie because the people around you kept him from you. And then when he quit, he actually resigned. Not because Iran was not a threat, but because Iran was not an imminent threat that required military intervention. That was false intelligence given to you by Israel to trick you into doing what they wanted, even if it was against America's interest. Just like Alan Dershowitz said, I told Bibi Netanyahu, we got to do whatever it is. You know, we'll handle Donald Trump. We'll take care of Donald Trump. Because, yeah, there's this conflict. There's a lot of people that want to do what's right for Israel, but then there's this, you know, side effect thing that it hurts America, but we'll get over that. We'll get past that. So you're surrounded by anti-American, Israel-first, subversive elements who are lying to you to get you into a war that's not good for America and based on false premises. Joe Kent desperately trying to tell you that to avert a catastrophic war. You are completely kept away from him when he finally resigns and actually sacrifices his own career in a desperate attempt to get this truth out into the public and specifically to you. That's also apparently kept from you because you're convinced that Joe Kent just said Iran's not a threat and is a leftist or something. Okay, I guess, yeah, I guess not wanting America to go to war for a foreign state in a suicidal endeavor at a time when our very existence as a nation is tenuous as it is, that makes you a leftist. That makes you a liberal because remember, there's only one dividing line between left and right, and it's Israel. Okay? If you are a transgender, open borders pedophile, but you like Israel, you are a Republican, you're on the right wing, you're good, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're patriotic. Okay? If you are a 100th generation, if you're a Native American who's never had family off this continent, who is, you know, hardcore right wing on absolutely everything, goes to church every Sunday, prays before you go to sleep, you know, powerfully commits to biological reality and all this other stuff, but you oppose Israel, well, you're a flaming leftist. You're a leftist and a liberal, and you hate America. And I'm not even kidding. That is how people have been indoctrinated. That is what they actually believe. I'll show you a video on the other side of a guy who's convinced that Candace Owens and Alex Jones and everybody, we're all in a cabal because we just secretly hate America, I guess. That's the best they can come up with because it makes no sense. Because it makes absolutely no sense. If I hated America, what I would be doing would be blackmailing Trump into getting into war with Iran. I'd be doing everything I could to destroy the credibility of the Republican Party, knowing it's the only, as crappy as it is the only political party who actually pretends to give a damn about American heritage. And I'd want them inextricably bound to the horrors and genocide carried out by Israel. I'd make that the dividing line. If I really wanted to destroy America, I would tell everybody that if you want to support the patriotic American Party, you first and foremost and above all must support the genocidal, murderous, cancerous little state of Israel. And that's exactly what's happening. It's on purpose because the people who are tricking Trump into going to war with Iran genuinely want America to go down. They actually do want America destroyed because they see it as future competition for their Israeli superstate. They're in our country. They were born in America, raised in America. They call themselves American. They have American passports, just like Alan Dershowitz. They are loyal to a foreign state. They're building up that state at the expense of America. They are surrounding Trump and humiliating him endlessly and keeping him away desperately and very effectively, keeping him totally separate and siloed away from the people who are trying to tell him the truth and trying to stop him from humiliating himself and destroying our country for the sake of these spies, these foreign spies. We'll be back on the other side to show you what Netanyahu has to say about all this. He doesn't care what the ceasefire says. He's taking over Lebanon. Big surprise.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now, here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you feel in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to continue to talk about the ceasefire deal made, announced as of this morning, and whether it'll actually hold and what's actually going on here. Again, the whole thing is hard to even cover because of just how inverted absolutely everything is and how out of whack it is with our historical understanding of the way geopolitics works. And again, it's not about any sort of preconceived notions or who is doing what. Just looking at it strictly in a subjective, objective way. Looking at it strictly in an objective way, it's obvious that Israel is the bad guys. Like, what they've been doing is indefensible in any regard. And I mean, just every day there's more and more evidence of that, to the point where you've got the Israeli government like condemning photographs of their own people. It's really gotten to a crazy degree. It's from Ambassador Jonathan Peled. We strongly condemn the manipulative use of the recent cover of L'Espresso, The image distorts the complex reality with which Israel must coexist, promoting stereotypes and hatred. Responsible journalism must be balanced and fair. And this is in response to a cover story from a Italian magazine called L'Espresso, and it's a story called The Abuse, in Italian, L'Abuso, I think. And the cover image is this visceral image of an Israeli settler almost baring his teeth like a chimpanzee as he holds a phone up, filming a crying Palestinian woman. Crew, if you can find this image. And actually, we have, you know, more video of the guy because he's a regular sort of fixture, almost a celebrity there in the West Bank settlements. That there's the actual photo. So this is, you know, they're saying, how dare you? How dare you show this image of reality? And there's video of this happening. So, you know, it's sort of a good starting point in understanding the mindset of here's a photo of what's actually happening. They recognize that what's actually happening is viscerally evil. Like, they're not sitting there going, oh, this is, you know, misconstrued the way this works. It's just, they're just saying, hey, you're not supposed to show this part. You're not supposed to show this part of what's actually going on, the functional reality of how our settlement operates and who's doing it, how they feel about it, who it's affecting. You're supposed to hide all of that. You're supposed to disguise all of that, and it's your fault for showing people the reality. It's not our fault for participating in it. That's sort of the mindset that we're working with here. In other words, they want it to keep going. They know the bad thing is happening, and they understand that it can only happen in secret, that if people knew in a widespread way about what they were doing, people would demand that it stop and they'd stand up to stop it. So secrecy is the only way that they get this done. So they're infuriated that the truth is being told about it. It's just a constant we see in our world. And of course, I can show you videos again for just how about from today? We can go to clip number 6 here. This is Israeli soldiers put up barbed wire and shot tear gas at Palestinian children who are trying to go to school. And like, it really is like cartoonishly evil. You know, it's the type of stuff that it would make really, you know, powerful anti-Semitic blood libels. But it's just what's actually happening. It's like, yeah, think of just the most sort of senselessly evil thing to do. And that's just what they do. It's like, what's the problem with Palestinian children going to school? And they're like, they're Palestinians, so we hate them and want to kill them. And this is as close as we can get to killing them right out in the open. So you can see they move up the fence, plant the Israeli flag, and just encroach. This, once again, directly against the explicit orders of Donald Trump. Explicit. He said they will not take any more of the West Bank. There will not be any more annexing. I think he actually said the same thing in that clip. He said enough is enough. The same thing he tweeted earlier today about truth socialed out about Lebanon. Enough is enough. Well, you said enough was enough when it came to the West Bank. And it's only the violence and the annexation of the West Bank has only increased. So let's play that video again. We'll leave the audio on so you can hear the people actually describe what's going on. Let's watch.
This is the path these Palestinian children in the Israeli-occupied West Bank normally take to get to school. But on Monday, they didn't make it to class due to this newly installed barbed wire fence that villagers say was put up by Israelis from the nearby Carmel settlement. The school kids were seen making do, reading and playing alongside the fence as Israeli soldiers on top of the hill looked on. The Yesha Council, a body that represents West Bank settlers, told Reuters, quote, a barrier was put in place to protect the residents of Carmel in coordination with Israeli security authorities after repeated attempted incursions into Carmel. It said there were other routes the school kids could take, but Khalil Hathaleen, the head of Amal Care Council, said the road they've been asked to take is too dangerous, as it's only 300 meters away from the settlement fence. One Israeli human rights group said the barbed wire fence was part of a coordinated campaign by settlers and the military to intimidate Palestinians and drive them from their land. In addition to the fence, Palestinians said Israeli soldiers had also fired tear gas, causing several children to experience breathing difficulties. In a statement, the Israeli military said they used riot dispersal means against adults who it said had tried to reach the settlement's security perimeter. The military acknowledged children were present, but said they were not targeted. The expansion of Jewish settlements in the West Bank has surged under the current Israeli government, the most right-wing in the country's history. The Israeli military has erected dozens of new checkpoints across the West Bank and established permanent and temporary roadblocks.
Now, I want to remind you that Hamas doesn't exist in the West Bank. The West Bank wasn't a part of October 7th. They aren't Gaza. But they're being treated like they are, obviously with the intention of ethnically cleansing the entire area and killing anybody that doesn't want to move. Now, I want to remind you, the West Bank is where the birthplace of Jesus is. It's where there are people who are literally the oldest Christian communities in the world. They are the ones now being targeted and driven out of their land. So they're not Hamas. They're not even Muslims. They're Christian Palestinians who are being viciously attacked on a continual basis by Israeli settlers who are protected by the Israeli army. And if the Palestinians try in any way to fight back, they'll simply be killed, if not kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured in ways that I don't even feel comfortable discussing. Totally horror-filled. Now, again, this is all just sort of laying the groundwork so you can understand how absurd it is, on top of everything, that this is the country that we are sacrificing everything for. It would be crazy already if we were doing this for a place like Ireland, right? As much as I love Ireland, they've never done anything to anybody, as far as I can tell. Aggressive, like, attacks against anybody? Absolutely not. They sort of have the cleanest record you could ask for in terms of imperialism or abuse of, you know, foreigners or their neighbors. Like, it just doesn't, Ireland doesn't have a history of that. If we were doing for Ireland what we're currently doing for Israel, I'd still be against it on a nationalistic basis because it's not our country. And why are we doing all of this for this foreign country? This doesn't make any sense. We shouldn't do this. But there's something a bit more heinous and despicable about it when you know that the country we are doing this for is not just engaged in questionable military behavior. Their entire history is nothing but that. But from 50 years before they were a country, they were already running terrorist games. They invented terrorism to create Israel, and it has never moved away from that. Like, every prime minister of Israel have all been members of terrorist gangs. The current leadership of Israel, multiple of them have been convicted for literal terrorism, like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. Like, look up their history. When they were, like, in their 20s, they were caught, like, building chemical weapons to use on civilians. But because that's what Israel's all about, they weren't charged, like, weren't convicted, and are now running the country with exactly the same mindset. It is so insane that America is a part of this. It is so against all of our values. It is, like, hard to describe because of how cartoonishly evil it really is. I mean, we can just, again, I didn't even collect these, like, being like, I'm going to talk about how evil Israel. This is just, it's every day. It's every day. There's 10 examples. I usually don't even show them. I usually don't even talk about them, but I could spend all show, every show, just showing you clips of Israelis being the most evil people you've ever seen. I mean, we can go to another one here. I just happen to have this one today, clip 32, talking about maternity ward terrorists, because you're a terrorist if you're not Jewish, according to these people. That's literally the dichotomy they operate under. Let's watch. I'll read along here. He says, Halavi was proud. I captured the department, I think the orthopedic department, approximately 150, and killed them in a hospital. At the same time, in the maternity ward, 300 terrorists were born. 300. Why? And this guy says, they're children, not terrorists. He says, yeah, terrorists. No, they're children. No, they're terrorists, you understand. Doesn't matter that they are literally newborns in the maternity ward. They've never been outside. They're so young. They haven't even opened their eyes yet. They're terrorists and they have to be killed. They deserve to be killed. It's a sin to let them live, according to these people. So again, it would be one thing if we were doing all of this for a foreign country. That was a great, nice, wonderful country. I'd still be against it. We're doing this for people that literally think I am a terrorist the moment I'm born. Because there's, in their dichotomy, it's not America and Israel on one side and Hamas and Iran on the other. It's America on, it's Israel on one side, America and Iran and Europe and Turkey and all of their neighbors on the other side. It's them versus everyone else. And you have to have that mindset. You can see how deeply, thoroughly convinced they are of this mindset because they advertise it. They talk about it like it's normal. And you have to have that level of dehumanization of the other in order to say things like there are 300 newborn terrorists in the maternity ward that we liquidated. I'm telling you, the thing I just don't understand, it's like, how many Nazi movies have you watched? How many times has this exact type of behavior been hammered into your mind that it's the height of evil, and yet you can't recognize it because it's Israel? You're lying. You're a bad person. Yeah. This guy might as well be our president at this point. The grimacing chimp Jew. It's representative of our soul as it's been twisted beyond recognition. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is in Lebanon. Again, a secular state whose the construct of their state, one of the three main positions has to be occupied by a person of a different religion. I can't remember exactly what the cutout is, what the arrangement is, but it's something like the president is always going to be a Christian, the prime minister is always going to be a Shiite, and the speaker of the house is always going to be a Sunni. Like, they are a multi-faith republic, which is especially ridiculous when you hear Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. It's like there's a republic directly next door that, by the way, was majority Christian until like the 1980s. And as a direct consequence of Israel's attack on Lebanon in the 80s, not only was Hezbollah created, of course, hundreds of American Marines died in this conflict, and it became a Muslim country directly as a direct consequence. And the Jewish community in Lebanon was eradicated and destroyed by Israeli airstrikes on their synagogue. Okay? Make sense of any of this from an Israeli perspective. You can't unless you're just like, yeah, we want to kill them. We will kill them. We kill them all. We lie about it. And then we keep killing. Like, that's it. That's the argument. That's the moral stance of theirs. There's no justification for any of this. And again, you know, I guess, you know, whatever, we'll move on. But we could go back and talk about regarding the 1983 Beirut barracks bombing that killed 241 Americans. The Israelis had intelligence on the operation they neglected to share with the Americans. Then, as the then Mossad director Nahum Admani reportedly said at the time, we're not there to protect Americans. So, you know, 241 Marines were killed by a truck bomb. This was before Hezbollah really existed. People say they started in 1982. They weren't a thing and didn't announce their existence until 1985. But obviously there was a upswell of local militia activity following the invasion of Lebanon by Israel in 1982. And it ended with this truck bomb at the Marine barracks. But rather than pass on these details to their U.S. counterparts, so Mossad knew. A Mossad informant in Beirut passed on information about a Mercedes truck being outfitted by radical Shiite Muslims to carry an exceptionally large quantity of high explosives. Because of its unusually large explosive capability, Mossad officials felt that there were only a few logical targets, one of which must be the U.S. compound. But rather than pass on these details to their U.S. counterparts, Mossad decided to send only a standard warning, which was all but useless. We're not there to protect Americans, Ostrowski quotes Mossad director Nahum Admani as saying. They're a big country. Send only the regular information. On October 23, 1983, a similar truck smashed into the Marine barracks, killing 241 servicemen. The general attitude about the Americans, wrote Ostrowski, was, hey, they want to stick their nose into this Lebanon thing, let them pay the price. Greatest allies, right? For 47 years, Iran has been trying to kill Americans. Yeah, with Israeli help. Like, hey, it's not our responsibility to look after the Americans. If they want to get their nose, you know, if they want to poke their noses into our business, they'll pay the price. That's the attitude of the Israelis towards America. It's transformed a little bit in the intervening 40 years or so. Because it's now, you have to stick your nose in our business, you have to stay here and fight for us, or I will kill your president or something. And of course, all of this is basically just a giant farce. I guess since we're on topic, let's go to clip 11 here. This is happening in Lebanon again. Lebanon, secular state. Hezbollah is a militia that operates within Lebanon, but Lebanon is not Hezbollah. They're not Hamas, and Hezbollah is not Hamas. And Hezbollah, despite being smeared as a terrorist organization, doesn't really attack civilians. Tries very hard not to. In fact, I can think of one example in a very long time of Hezbollah's missiles actually hitting civilians, and it was a misfired rocket that was hit by an interceptor that killed some Druze people, and Israel made a big deal out of it because they wanted to use the Druze to attack Hezbollah, and Hezbollah basically came out and apologized and said, you know, it's an accident. But anyway, the point is, we're not talking about a justified war here. Even if their tactics were appropriate, they're just waging a war against a bunch of civilians. But here's a video of them deliberately targeting paramedics over and over again in multiple double strike attacks on civilians. Let's watch.
So,
yeah.
The Israeli military today launched three consecutive attacks on three different teams of paramedics, all operating in the southern Lebanese town of Meifadun. And what we heard from the Lebanese health ministry was that first there was a paramedic team that, as is normal, responded to an emergency call. They were going to the site of an Israeli airstrike where there were wounded people they needed to rescue. And as they were arriving to Meifadun, they were hit by an Israeli drone strike, killing two paramedics at that site and wounding others. And then the paramedics sent yet another team in order to rescue that first team. And as they were arriving to the town, another Israeli strike hit that team and wounded three of those paramedics. So then the civil defense decided to send yet a third team in order to rescue the first and the second teams. They were also hit when arriving to the town. Another two paramedics were killed in that third strike, and more were wounded. The Lebanese health ministry has condemned this as a blatant violation of international law, saying medical facilities should never be a target under the Geneva Conventions. We're still waiting for comment from the Israeli military on exactly what it was targeting in these strikes. And we know from the past that Israel has accused the Hezbollah militant group that it is fighting a war with in the south of using medical facilities and ambulances as cover for its militant activities. But it has not provided evidence of this. And so far in this war, Israeli strikes have killed more than 91 health workers so far, according to the Lebanese health ministry.
So again, they're brutally murdering innocent civilians in Lebanon. It's just terror bombing in a pretty heinous fashion. But a lot of people are looking at the current ceasefire. They're seeing how, so like, this is what I mean, is like, typically in a world that made sense, the country doing that would be the bad guy. Like, there'd be no question. We'd all be aligned against him. This is why it's so confusing, is we've got this one country that just everywhere and constantly, Gaza, just murder fest, genocide there. West Bank, just vicious and brutal annexing of land that's not theirs. Obviously, they're doing insane stuff in Syria. They're just murdering everybody in Lebanon. And it's like, looking at this, you would think that everybody in the world would be aligned against them, and they must be like Germany. They must be like an industrial powerhouse that, like, we just can't stop. But no, it's literally entirely because of the manipulation of our political system that allows them to do this, and it's all inverted. They're the bad guys, and they're not going to stop trying to take over Lebanon. I don't care what the ceasefire says. They don't care what the ceasefire says anyway. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu, clip number 19, saying Israel occupation forces will not return to the previously established border of Lebanon. They have annexed a large portion of Lebanon and intend to stay there in violation of the ceasefire agreement. So it doesn't exist. Let's watch. I'll read along here. He says, we have an opportunity to make a historic peace agreement with Lebanon. President Trump intended to invite me and the president of Lebanon to try to advance this agreement. This opportunity exists because since the War of Independence, he's talking about his War of Independence, we have fundamentally changed the balance of power in Lebanon. We dismantled the beepers. We destroyed the massive stockpile of 150,000 rockets and missiles that Nasrallah prepared to devastate the hills. He probably should have used them. And we eliminated Nasrallah. And this balance has shifted in such a way that in the past month, we started receiving calls from Lebanon to hold direct peace talks between us and them, something that hasn't happened in over 40 years. I welcomed this call and agreed to a timeout, or more accurately, a temporary ceasefire of 10 days to try to advance the agreement we began discussing during the ambassador's meeting in Washington. For these peace talks, we have two demands. First, the disarmament of Hezbollah. Second, a sustainable peace agreement, peace through strength, to achieve the ceasefire. Hezbollah insisted on two conditions. The first condition, Israel must withdraw from all Lebanese territory up to the international border. The second condition, a ceasefire under the framework of quiet for quiet. He says, I did not agree to either of these conditions. Indeed, these two conditions are not acceptable. We are staying in Lebanon in a reinforced security zone. This is not the 5 points that existed before the lion's roar. This is a security zone that starts at the sea and continues to Mount Dove in the Hermon foothills up to the Syrian border, a security zone 10 kilometers thick, which is much stronger, much more robust, much more continuous, and much more solid than what we had before. So we can take it down. So he says, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. We are taking over this land that we're illegally occupying. They did just command that a bunch of civilians flee their home and then bomb them to smithereens, which is like so much less than what Russia did in Ukraine that started that whole war. The outrage that we had to constantly hear about, the bigger country is invading the smaller country. Don't you understand that this is a matter of sovereign land? And it's like, again, we told you at the time, these people don't give a damn about that. They clearly just don't have principles. It doesn't matter to them. What is good for Israel is good. What is bad for Israel is bad. That is their morality. And that's where it exists. And we can get into it more because I'm not the only one recognizing this. ResponsibleStatecraft.org says Lebanon talks are a farce disguising something much more sinister. He says, in essence, what Israel and the U.S. seek is not a peace deal between Israel and Lebanon, but an agreement to turn Lebanon's government into something like the Palestinian Authority by enlisting it to be Israel's security subcontractor in the north, which is simply not achievable. And that's really what they're trying to set up. They really do want to turn Lebanon into Gaza 2.0 with the intention of eventually destroying it totally, driving the people out and annexing it into greater Israel. That's what they're pursuing. That's still their ultimate goal. This ceasefire, if it even exists for any period of time, is in service of that goal. Otherwise, Israel will not agree to it. And I've seen no pressure brought to bear that will change their mind, regardless of Trump's shrieking.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. And they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexostore.com. I'm back because I forgot one point I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence or bought anything, thealexostore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the Dope Spirit. Thank you so much.